I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FUNetworkTV and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. And now, here's your show.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Hey everyone, it is Michelle Badusky coming to you on Kick FM Radio, Ed the Sox FU Network, or on my Facebook, YouTube channel, wherever you are joining me. Thank you for being here. Today I'm going to talk about something a little bit different that I have kind of been working with for quite a few years with some of my personal coaching, wellness, and empowerment clients. And it's something that I call, or I've newly called, the Karen syndrome. Now, I'm not talking about internet Karens. We're all familiar with internet Karens. This isn't quite that, although internet Karen would probably be a part of the Karen syndrome. And I'm spelling that C-A-R-I-N apostrophe, because people with the Karen syndrome care too damn much about everybody else but themselves. They're caring too much. Now, I know that that sounds like it should be a really good thing. The problem is, like anything, when you take it to an extreme, it leaves something lacking. So let's talk about some specifics, almost some like some subreddits, sub syndromes. So one of the most common things I see is something I call the mommy syndrome. And the mommy syndrome is usually women, but it could be a parent, it could be a father, it doesn't necessarily need to be a female. But we all know someone like this. I know that I've gone through stages like this where it seems like my family is the most important thing in my life in a way that is not necessarily healthy for me. So that means everything is about, you know, the husband or the spouse or the wife, the kids, everything that they need. Everything that they need and want comes first before my own needs. And I know that some of you may be going through that right now. You know, things get hectic. Kids are going into different directions. We're overscheduled. We've got to take them from sports to dance to, you know, gymnastics. We got to worry about school. And now with COVID, some of us are homeschooling. And then we're worried about, you know, their social development. So there's play dates and there's scheduling. And we don't want to send them to the park by themselves. So, you know, we're all involved in everything they do, every aspect of their life. And even sometimes with our spouses, it's a matter of not having our own identity. Now, it sounds like that's just a normal parenting thing, but the problem is that when we get so caught up in everything else and everyone else's needs that we often forget about our own. And that's where the Karen syndrome comes in. We've been caring too damn much. And before you send me a message and start saying, oh, but my kids and my husband, oh, they are the most important thing and they come first, I'm going to tell you this. They can't. They absolutely can't come first. You have to be the biggest priority in your life, because the best gift you can give your children and your spouse is a happy, healthy you. And if you're not taking care of your own needs, you aren't being the best that you can be for them. You can't give 100% if you are not 100%. It's like the old saying, you can't pour from an empty bucket. If you aren't filling up your bucket, if you aren't balancing your emotional, physical, spiritual, or social, and mental needs, you aren't giving them 100%. Even though you're go, 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 they're not getting the best of you. They're just getting quantity, not necessarily quality. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later as we tie it all together. But one of the biggest things that happens with this mommy syndrome is that eventually our kids grow up. I know it sucks, and I see it. You know, sometimes we just don't want to admit it, that our kids are going to grow up. And as parents, our job is to let our kids grow up into healthy, independent adults who have their own lives. That's what we're supposed to want. Now, I've seen some people who have continued that relationship with their children, and I'm not saying you shouldn't continue a relationship, but they've continued that involvement in their children's lives to the point of being so heavily involved in their adults' lives that they still don't have a life of their own, right? Now, all of a sudden, instead of raising their children, they're raising grandchildren, or they're getting involved in, you know, their children's marriages and relationships, causing, you know, the mother-in-law and father-in-law problems because they just haven't let go yet. And it's not necessarily an unhealthy thing to be involved with your children. We want those great relationships with our adult children. But to be overly invested in their lives means we aren't having the time and energy to invest on our own. So that would be like the sub syndrome of the mommy syndrome in my overlying umbrella Karen syndrome. Now, the other type of syndrome that I like to talk about and I see a lot of is the martyr syndrome. Now, the martyr syndrome is someone, and I know that you, if you think about it, you probably know someone in your life that, you know, kind of lives their life as a martyr. They have a cause. They have a belief. They have something that they are so passionately involved with, whether it is a community organization, a political drive, anything like that, that they are so heavily involved in that it takes over their life. They are live and breathe it to the point that everything else falls to the side. And you know these people because when you talk to them, that's all they talk about. You say, how are you doing? And they start talking about their cause. They start talking about, you know, whatever it is. You know, I can think of some examples, but I don't want to get personal with anybody. So those are martyrs. They sacrifice everything in their own lives to take care of whatever issue they're trying to be an advocate for. And it's not saying that those issues don't need advocates. And I admire those people that are out there changing the world. But if we give 100% to our advocacy and aren't taking care of ourselves, we end up in the same place as the mommy syndrome, right? You can't pour from an empty bucket. So are you really giving 100% of you, or are you just giving a whole lot of time? Are you, you know, working hard, or are you working smart? Those are the types of things that we want to address here when we talk about these syndromes. So we have the mommy syndrome, we have the martyr syndrome, and the other one I want to cause is the fix-it syndrome. This is something that I get caught up in a lot, and sometimes I really need to step back and take a look, because it's not that I have the martyr syndrome. I don't get so heavily involved in one cause, but I do want to fix things. If someone comes to me with a problem, I want to jump in there and just fix it. I want to, you know, get involved in it. I want to, you know, what can I do? Let me help. We need to do a fundraiser. Okay, I'm on it. And I go from one thing to the next, just trying to fix everything around me. This is something that I know I've been impacted by and I've had to deal with. And again, being a fixer is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be exhausting when you were so busy trying to fix things that you aren't maintaining it. And I actually had a conversation with my husband just this morning, which was really cool, because I've started developing a deeper practice into my meditation. And I know when I say meditation that it freaks a lot of people out and they think that, you know, I'm like Hare Krishna chanting in an airport or something. That's not what meditation is. Meditation is actually just taking some time to focus my mind so I can actually look internally and get grounded. And that's a whole different podcast, but it is something that I have used very often over the last couple decades as a tool to manage my anxiety. And for those of you who have followed me for a while, you know that I was diagnosed with a mental illness decades ago. And with my illness, I go through periods of anxiety and depression. I am in kind of what I call the maintenance phase. I don't suffer from a mental illness anymore. I hate that term because I don't suffer from it. I harness it. I love my mental illness. I kind of think it's a superpower for me, but it does have some side effects. And some of those include things like anxiety, because OCD is one of the things that I've learned to live with. So if I do have an anxiety attack or anything like that, meditation and breathing practices always tend to bring me down and bring me to focus. I use it as a tool to fix my problem. And what I've discovered over this course of COVID and having this time to really focus on, you know, kind of myself and my family and my needs and where I'm going, is I've developed a regular meditation practice where I'm doing it daily as almost like a, just like anything else, just like a yoga practice or an exercise class. I've incorporated daily meditation in, and I found that I've actually stopped having those anxiety attacks. So it's about maintenance, not fixing. And that's the problem with the fixer syndrome is that we are so busy fixing everything that we forget to maintain the base, right? It's kind of like a mechanic. My dad was a mechanic. We always drove the worst vehicles out there because he was so busy fixing everybody else's. He never took care of his own. And I know that you know what I'm talking about because there's something in your life or someone in your life you can relate to that way. So we have the mommy syndrome, the martyr syndrome, the fix-it syndrome. And now I'm going to say the last of the four sub-syndromes of the Karen syndrome is the other syndrome. Now, the other syndrome is kind of where I categorize people who are so caught up in the lives of others that they don't even look at their own. And now these are the Karens out there, the internet Karens. These are the others. The Karens that are so caught up in what other people are doing, what other people are saying. They know everything there is to know about everybody else. They know everybody's business. These are the people that when you stop on the street and chit chat with them, they tell you the latest gossip about people you probably don't even know. Or you talk to them on the phone, they say, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Or, hey, you know, how are you doing today? Well, my son is this and this. It's never about them. It's always about the others. And these are the people that we've seen that take it to an extreme, right? They get so caught up in politics, or they carry such hate or animosity for a political figure or anything like that. That derangement syndrome, that's all part of this, is we get so caught up in the lives of others to avoid looking at our own. So when I'm talking about the Karen syndrome, caring too damn much about everything else but yourself, those are the different issues that I'm looking at. And all of us tend to go through those in little phases. You know, if we have a sick child, of course, we're going to be mommy syndrome. We're going to be all about that child. Those are normal things. It's normal to, you know, the Black Lives Matter protest. It's normal to kind of get in there and be that activist. It's normal to want to get in there and fix it. It's normal to want to, you know, sacrifice some time and energy or maybe even some money to get in there and advocate and protest and do the things that we need to do when we see a cause that is needed like that. That's okay. That's nothing wrong with that because it's temporary. It's not lasting. It's not a life's journey. What concerns me and where the Karen syndrome comes in is when it becomes a way of life to the point that we are not taking care of ourselves, that we are not balancing our wheel. And when I say wheel, if you haven't seen anything I've talked about before, I use a traditional medicine wheel in a way that talks about balancing our whole body and mind because we're all made up of four quadrants. Now, I don't care what religion, what spirituality, what culture you're from. It doesn't matter. Every single one has something similar like this. So it's mind. So your mental wellness, your heart, your emotional wellness, your body, your physical wellness. And then there's your soul. And I don't care, this is not a religious thing. When I say soul, it's about that feeling of being connected to something bigger than you are. So maybe for you, it's religion, maybe it's spirituality, maybe it's a social aspect, you know, being part of a community, being part of a club, a group. Those are all necessities. Those four quadrants need to be imbalanced or a wheel can't roll. It's just like a tire, right? You can't have a tire that's only flat on one side. It looks like it. But once you realize and you let the air out of one quadrant, as you start to roll, they're all impacted. So if we're not taking care of the four quadrants of ourselves, we have very little to give to the causes that we want to support, to our family, to our children. And eventually, we burn out. We start getting impacted on the other quadrants. So if you sacrifice all of your social well-being to take a part in a cause, you give up friends, you give up community, you give up going to church or whatever is really important to you. You don't take advantage of social opportunities and you kind of isolate because you've got a cause or your children need you or your husband doesn't like you being gone. Whatever your reason is for giving up that social impact or that social quadrant and what fills you up socially is eventually going to spill over onto the other quadrants. You're going to feel it physically. Maybe you're carrying a lot of stress. Maybe, you know, you can't sleep at night. Maybe you're gaining weight. Maybe you're losing too much weight. there are ramifications. We don't ever isolate those quadrants. We are a whole being. And we cannot empty one quadrant without feeling it in the others. So when I talk about, you know, I think one of the most overused terms of this last, you know, couple years or maybe even the last decade is the term self-care. You hear it all the time, self-care. We see it when people are like selling soap. You deserve self-care. Well, you know what? It sounds great and it's a great catchphrase, but what does it really mean to practice self-care? It's a hell of a lot more than using a nice fragrant soap or spending, you know, $200 on a new gadget. That's not what self-care is about. Self-care is about balancing the four quadrants of our being so that we have more to give. It's about working smart, not hard. So let me explain what I mean by that and how that impacts the Karen syndrome. So if you are physically unwell, if you are feeling unhealthy, if you've maybe gained some weight, if you have an illness, if anything like that affects your body, you know, you're carrying tension, all of those things. If you don't address that physical aspect, you're not going to sleep. You're not going to be physically have the energy. If you're not taking medication that you're supposed to, your body's not healing itself. If you're not getting regular exercise, if you're filling your body full of crap foods, processed foods, things like that, and not eating healthy, or at least trying to, physically, you're not going to have the energy to do the things that you want to do. So if your kids want to go out and play, let's say your kids are, you know, the huge thing in your life, your kids want to go out and play or go for a walk or go for a bike ride, you're going to be like, oh, no, let's watch TV instead. So it's going to take and have an impact on those things that you really want to focus on. And that's why I say work smart, not hard, because we could push ourselves, go, okay, let's go for a walk. And you can hate it and you can resent it, which then in turn impacts your mental health and your emotional health because you feel like crap, but you're giving it all to the kids, right? Even though you're not feeling it. So what if you actually did it the opposite way and said, you know what, we will go for a walk after I don't know, do some meditation, or I'm going to take 10 minutes and just do some yoga and then we can go do this. By putting yourself first, by making yourself a priority and doing what you need to fill that quadrant, you are actually giving more to your children, because when you decide to go for a walk for them, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel like being there. You're going to be happier. You're not going to resent it. You're going to have more energy. You're going to be able to give more to them instead of the opposite way around. And what I find is that when we have people working full force through any one of the martyrs or any one of these syndromes, martyr, mommy, fix it, Karen, whatever you want to call it, when you are giving everything to something else and not focusing on yourself, we think we're being selfless. We think that we are being this incredible being that just does, because it's selfish to think, you know, that we're all that in a bag of chips. When in reality, it's the least selfish thing you can do, because in order to take care of your others, you need to take care of yourself. It's like when you're on an airplane, you know, if there's an oxygen decrease or depressurization and the masks fall down, they say, put your own mask on first, because you can't help anyone else if you're passed out on the floor. This is the same thing with these syndromes. If you're caring so much about everybody else and everything that they're doing that you're not focusing on yourself, your quadrants deteriorate. And when they empty, when something gets empty, everything else is impacted. So I want to look at that. If all you're doing is focusing on what other people are doing in their lives, if all you're focusing on is the gossip, when are you focusing on you? When are you focusing on the positive? You know, that's kind of like, here's another syndrome of mine that you will have heard me talk about if you follow me at all. It's called the lobster syndrome. Lobsters in a tank will crawl all over each other, push each other down, keep them on the, bo- them, keep the others on the bottom of the tank to try to pull themselves up. And when one of the lobsters gets to the top, the rest are like, grab onto him and try and pull him down. Because it's easier to bring others down than it is to bring ourselves up. And that's where that other syndrome comes in. It's easier to focus on what other people are doing wrong. It's easier to focus on the negative than it is on the positive. So if we see someone and our language is so important, it's much easier to say, oh my God, did you see what she was wearing? Than to say, wow, she looks amazing. Because somehow internally, when we pay a positive compliment or when we look at the positive of others, somehow we've gotten it into our mind that it depreciates us. When that's not true. Another's value, another's accomplishments has nothing to do with us. But when we focus on others all the time, our life becomes a comparison. We start comparing ourselves. It's like, well, I don't want to see the good in them because that makes me bad. Good, bad. When that's not true, because we could both be good. We could both be looking freaking amazing. And me acknowledging someone else's beauty doesn't make me less beautiful. But yet, when we focus on others instead of ourselves, that's what happens. And we begin to live in this negative sphere of energy that just depreciates our self-worth, our mental, and our emotional health. Now, these syndromes, like I said, we all go through them. We all have times that we need to go through them. And I encourage, you know, activism. I encourage getting involved. I encourage, you know, being a part of your children's lives. I encourage all of that. Those things can be healthy. They're needed. We are more than just individuals. We are part of families and communities and a bigger world. We are. But we can't let all of that take precedent over ourselves. When I was going through, when I got clean from my addiction in 2000, so almost 20 years, October 19th, 2020 will be 20 years that I've been clean from my narcotic and opioid addiction. And for the first 7 years, I attended Alcoholics Anonymous, even though alcohol was not the drug I had a problem with. I don't identify as an alcoholic. I still to this day enjoy a glass of wine. But at that time, there was no Narcotics Anonymous and there was no drug support program where I was living. So I went to Alcoholics Anonymous and I went diligently daily for years. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. And even though, you know, I was dealing with a different type of addiction, it was all kind of the same thing. And I remember seeing this sign up on the wall that said, first things first. And I never could figure out what that meant until after I was dealing with my mental illness. So with me, I was so focused, I was self-medicating with drugs to deal with my anxiety and depression, right? So when I was in a depressive state, I used narcotics, primarily cocaine, and I came up. And when I was dealing with that manic state, I would use opioids to bring me down. But because of the nature of my mental illness, there was no big swings like this. It was constant. So I was cross-medicating for years. I was just one big pharmacy when it came down to it. So when I got rid of the drugs and got clean, that's when my mental illness really impacted me. And I didn't even realize I had one because I'd been self-medicating since I was 10 years old. And once I kind of got into therapy and started working with my psychiatrist and learning coping mechanisms to manage my own symptoms, there is no medication that can help me. So I had to find ways to manage my symptoms on my own and with help of some amazing, amazing professionals. I started realizing what that poster meant, first things first. It meant I have to take care of me first. And one of the things I say to other parents that really, you know, I've got four kids and it kind of screws them up a little bit when I say this because it seems contradictory to what we're taught. But when I look at my life, the most important person in my life is me. It's not my children. It's not my husband. It's me. I am the most important person in my life. I have to take care of me first because if I don't take care of me, I can't take care of them. The greatest gift I can give my kids and my husband is a happy, healthy me. And in order to do that, I need to take care of me. In order to give to my community, I need to take care of me. In order to be an activist for the social causes that I want to fix, I have to take care of me. In order to look at others in a positive light so I can lift them up instead of trying to push them down with that negativity and that gossip, I have to take care of me. I have to be in a balanced mental state. This is what the treatment is for the Karen syndrome. If you find yourself caring too damn much about what everybody else is doing and what else is going on in the world, that it's affecting your mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual health, you need to stop caring about them and start caring about you. You need to take care of you. And if that means stepping back and saying, you know what, I need a break. If it means, you know, taking half an hour a day to go for a walk or calling a girlfriend or, you know, a buddy on the phone, that's what you do. When my oldest son, who is now over almost 27, oh my God. So for those of you who don't know, I have a 27-year-old, a 14-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. So I've been doing this a really long time. And I do remember when he was little and I started figuring out this first things first, that I'm a priority, I became a much better mother. And I wasn't a great mother dealing with my addiction and for the first few years as I was trying to figure this out. Now, I think I'm a pretty damn good mother, not the best. I still got a lot of growing to do, and especially dealing with the adult version of my children. But I still know that in order to be the best mother I can to them, I have to be the best person and the best woman I am to me. Because at the end of the day, they're going to grow up and go away. Hopefully. Maybe some of them will come back. But at the end of the day, I'm with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no one else in my life that I am with the amount of time I'm with me. So I damn well better feel great and love myself and feel like I'm balanced and important and powerful and all of these wonderful things, so that when I am with them, I have more to give. So if you are dealing with, you know, the Karen syndrome, or if you recognize it in yourself or someone you love, don't panic. There's a solution. If you're caring too damn much about everything else, stop for a few minutes and start caring about you. So until next week, I'll talk to you soon.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network.